Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined in the studios today with the lovely Jen Hellman.
Hi.
She's very shy today. She's very shy. And and of course, Nico.
Hello, Nico.
The comedy dog.
May or may not throw up on this.
Yeah, he sounded...
He sounds a little bit car sick.
Yeah, he made it. Yeah, my dog, my little dog, you know, the little Jack Russell, he was never good in the car. Like, he throws up in the car after a while. He can't, like, oh, he tried to stick his head out the window.
Aw, that's sad. Nico, we were just on the road. Nico did well. Eric Rosenblum, not so much.
Right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Did Eric had his head out the window?
We went to take Eric Myers to his mom's house, and
right.
She lives in the middle of an area of Orlando that you didn't even know existed. I don't know how anybody, it was so long and windy and far away that it actually made Eric Rosenblum car sick.
Did it happen to be Claremont?
It was in Poinciana.
Right.
And it's a big development located in Poinciana. And it's just, once we got through the gate, there was still like a 15-minute drive.
Oh, yeah.
To his mom's house. And Rosenblum was in the back. And he was like, we gave him gum, ginger, windows down,
now,
ginger
ale. Now, is he getting car sick because of the winding roads and who's driving you?
I'm driving at probably a combination of all of those things.
Right. And you're like a fast driver?
I was braking a lot.
Oh.
It was a lot of like Eric Myers going, turn here. Wait, turn there. So
you weren't relying on the modern day navigation system.
No, I was relying on the very
Eric
Myers navigation system.
Yeah, that's like the complete opposite.
Complete opposite of modern day.
Modern, yeah, exactly. that would be a good marketing thing, like the new Eric Myers navigation system.
Fuck, you missed the turn.
That's my best Eric Myers impression.
I've spent all week doing Eric Myers impressions.
Yeah, it was a nice tour. He was actually in Florida. He's going to be at Tavolino's on June 24th, I think
yes.
It is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
June 24th, yeah.
Right. And so we're excited about that. He's coming back to Florida. And, you know, I was in Claremont.
Oh.
I did a show at the Claremont Performing Arts Center.
Is that in Orlando? Like, right outside? I stayed near there. I stayed in Claremont.
It's, like, just Davenport. North of Orlando.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is. I stayed at the Hampton Inn there.
Right. And, you know, what's funny about that place, it's almost like you're in a different part of... You're not in Florida.
No. Well, you're just somewhere, like, you stop on the way to somewhere else in Florida.
Yeah.
It's like not really a city. It's like somewhere you stop to go to the bathroom on the way to somewhere in
Florida.
But
it's not flat. It's got like hills and everything. It's like you're actually somewhere in West Virginia. It's like...
I didn't see that.
No? Well, in Claremont, like... I was driving. Like, well,
there were
this
ramps.
Ramps?
I didn't see hills. Yeah, I didn't see hills.
Well, I assure you, like if you're on the turnpike heading north and you just pass I-4 in the Orlando area,
yeah.
Then you eventually get into this, like it's a pretty hilly area. That's where Claremont starts. And you're like, wow, this is...
We're going.
You can't say a mountain.
Right, mountain hiking in Florida.
I'm going to go walk up and down that mountain 4 times. We had a soccer coach that used to do that. There was a little hill out there in Coral Springs area called the Hills. It's actually a man-made hill. And they say the guy nut used to take us there to run up the hills for conditioning. I'm like, oh, this fucking guy, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, please. I grew up in the Northeast. We had real hills, sledding hills.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the mountains now when I go up north, too. Like, I get sensitive to the
altitude?
To the altitude of Baltimore.
Baltimore.
I also get sensitive to the drugs, but...
Well, we keep going back to the same...
The PCP in Baltimore. No,
yeah.
Just kidding.
I don't know if it's the altitude in Baltimore or the drugs I take. What's up, Michael Blair from England?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we should do a segment on the show called From Across the Pond... And when we read it, we had to do it with an English accent.
I love that. Although that almost sounded Irish.
No,
right?
It's not Michael? Irish. That's not Irish.
It's not.
Irish is more like they say. I don't know. I can't do
Irish. I don't really do. I do an English accent, but it doesn't really sound.
Yeah.
I just say bloody.
Bloody. So from like,
you're a swine, feeling randy.
Yeah.
That means I'm horny.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, I'm not.
No, she's just using the words, gentlemen.
Randy, come to my flat. I'm feeling randy.
I've got to use the loo.
Are you turned on, Michael Blair?
Yeah. As a family, I don't know what Michael Blair, but what right man wouldn't be? you know. Which, hey, while we're at it, usually we open the show with just discussions. And like I said, I was in Claremont and had a fun time. It was one of those shows, it was the last show of the series at the Claremont Performing Arts Center. Big, nice room, but there was only like 30 or 40 people, and somewhere the house is over 200.
Wow.
So that wasn't, but we had a good time. We made fun of it.
Were they spread out, or were they sitting all like no, kind
they,
of up close?
They kind
of
got, they kind of like clustered
well,
in this area.
That's good, because then it doesn't feel so
but
weird.
But it's like one of these like theater, black box theaters where you're performing around, like, it's almost like, I would say, 180 degrees of an audience.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense, like they're out there.
Does that work? I always wondered if I should do that at Scores. We have a main stage. Do you like working on, like, and you just have to keep, like, what, walking around?
It's different because, you know, if you have facial expressions on stage and you have some mannerisms that, you know, so some people over here aren't going to see what you're doing.
Right.
So it's definitely not as easy as everybody in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you got to work it. I remember in Bonkers, that used to have Why Not Lounge.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
It was in Orlando, just near Winter Park, I guess,
okay.
East. And it was one of those rooms where pretty much there's a couple tables in front of you, but the bulk of the room was to your left and to your right. So you'd be telling a joke, and you'd be like, so anyway, I'm going to set up over here, and then, oh, you better can't forget these people over here.
Right, you need to get, like, David Copperfield in there to, like, you know, have you screen, like, zoomed in. So
get
you're
some
facing
mirrors.
Both, some mirrors, some smoke.
Now, they had you had another show on last week on Monday. Eric
last
Myers
Monday,
headlined it.
Yes, we had Eric Myers headline at Scores. We had a great time. Scores, yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun. We had Noam came out. She did a spot. Mike Cintron came and featured.
Nice.
So we had a good time. Yeah. And then I have Carl coming next week. Carl Remy.
Yeah, great. And you guys were at Off the Hook Comedy Club on Wednesday last week,
we did.
Right?
We headed out to Captain Brian's. We did Off the Hook, which is a great room.
Yeah.
It's funny. Sometimes it can be intimidated, right, with the older audience.
It's a lot of people a lot of people get that. It's a white, older, waspy.
It's a white, older audience. They were great, though. They love comedy. They love everything.
Some people can get intimidated. I've worked there with people that got intimidated with it and didn't think they were connecting, and they probably weren't because they were intimidated. Like, I remember one time I thought I would say, you know what, I'm going to really open up to this crowd. I'm like, you guys, I've heard you people over here in Naples are waspy. You know, I have a friend that's very wasp. Speaking of wasps, I even asked him, I said, how do you get rid of wasps? I got like a wasp nest in my patio, like right up when you walk out the door, it's a big wasp nest. How do I get rid of it? He goes, have a black guy move in.
Oh my God, he did not.
Yeah, and everybody laughed, of course, because it's Naples, Florida.
Although they did have a mixed crowd there. It was a great time. The food is very good there. Have you ever eaten at Captain Brian's?
Absolutely,
the food is delicious. The food is great. The crowd was wonderful. It was so much fun. It was actually kind of a mixed crowd. There were
some younger group people.
Yeah, but we had a blast. We had a good time.
The younger people in Naples, I call them trust fund babies, most of them. Most of them are the children of the real wealthy. Which, by the way, I got to tell you this: there's a new, they talk about the millennials and stuff like that. But there is a large group of people that, you know, the stock market. People start investing in the market in the late '80s, mid '80s. So there's a generation, a couple decades of people that put money away.
Yeah.
And these people are dying and leaving their money to their useless fucking kids. And you
AKA
know,
the millennials,
right? So, so they end up rolling over $500,000 in retirement monies and stuff like that. And these people have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but they want here problem with me and the guy what I do. They all want to do it themselves. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to put in a couple ETFs. Okay, good luck with that, Potsy. Anyway, so it is a fun, like, I consider Off the Hook Comedy Club my home club now. Jerry, who's the manager there, I said, look, I don't have the New York Comedy Club was my home club where I got started. That's no longer there. It's the Black Box, which I don't work there anymore because me and the owner don't like each other.
Does anybody
like him?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a growing field, you know. But listen, it's a great room. So there are a lot of people that learn how to kiss his ass and put up with him. And of course, if they're real good talent and they're you know, that room's great for people who are known because that's what they do. They bring in people that have a draw.
I'm going to go mum on that just because of recent interactions I've had in the past week.
Yeah.
I've been able to make my own conclusion. You know what's funny? I love, you know, I own an advertising NPR firm. In case anybody knows, the Fahrenheit Advertising. I do websites and we do a damn good job. And there's nothing funnier to me than when I offer somebody a really good deal because I feel like I know them.
Right.
And then have them shit in my face over it. And then I just laugh. I'm like, good luck. You just lost the deal. Yeah. And you can go ahead and overpay. For shit,
yeah,
you know,
it's always interesting when you do. I would do that. Like I would when I would interview clients for what I did, and they're like, well, you know, and everything. I'd be like, well, look, fine. You know, you get to the point as a professional where it's not about them hiring you,
right?
It's about you really
doing
deciding
them
to work
something
with them.
Nice for them. Like I said, like people pay me thousands of dollars to do their websites, and you want to act like you're not good enough, okay? Enjoy that.
There's a lot of people nowadays that when it comes down to it, they just play hard and they're condescending. Like the minute somebody, I give like a 3-strike policy when somebody makes condescending comments like, oh, you know, guys like you or people like you or advisor, whatever, you know, by the third one, that's when I shut
people are going to get in their own way. Yeah. Can't help it. But the good news is I think I am going to be starting a weekend room in Boca.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm in the talks. I'm not going to say who. It's looking very good. So I'm very excited. Because one of the things that I've gotten really good at Scores is booking.
Right.
And we're going to this summer, I would say that you can look forward to an excellent weekend room in Boca Raton.
I'm excited.
Yes. And the booker I have complete respect for comedians.
So you don't treat them all. You don't talk down to them.
I don't talk down to them. And
you don't treat them like if they're local, if they're part of the local scene, you don't tell them they're not shit yet.
I don't
or
act
anything.
Like I don't know them when I know them. Right. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm. I don't only hit them up when I'm trying to get them to do my contest.
Right.
It's going to definitely probably be definitely probably like that. It's definitely probably.
You sound like Trump. Listen,
it's definitely probably going to be happening this summer. I'll keep you all posted.
Oh, well, great. And well, listen, you're the booker and we all know she's tough. Look, she's on the show here and I still haven't gotten booked at Scores yet.
That's right. Well, we have it scheduled out and that's not anything personal. It's just schedule. And I only do 2 shows a month.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
So, you know, and we're reworking that. You know, there's a lot I'm learning. I'll be honest. I'm learning a lot about the other side of the business. You know, as comedians, we see one side and we see the bookers. I kind of understand why bookers can't stand comedians.
Well, trust me. I've been booking Tavolinos for 4 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to respect it one way or the other. It's just the way it is.
And I'm learning. I'm learning a lot about the business. Like I've learned, you know, about whether do comedians fill seats or do marketing fill seats. You know what I mean?
Unless bottom line of that is unless you're a real draw, unless you have a real social, you know, unless you have something like, you know, a great example of that is that Esther Koo isn't a household name. I mean, she's been on MTV and stuff, but she's got such a good Instagram follower. Like yes. when we had her at Tavolino's that day of the show, we ended up having like 40 people.
Really?
You know, pretty much because
all right,
of the social.
So I'll have Esther Koo over at Scores.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have 7,500 followers.
You're like, I got some Instagram followers.
Definitely in Palm Beach. Actually, I got a lot of friends. That's why with the Palm Beach Improv, I got several old high, you know, groups. We're talking like 10 to 20 people.
Yeah.
We can definitely get out in Palm Beach because they're all people I went to school with.
It was more of an issue of us. We just, you know, we booked everything out very ahead of time. When we launched Scores, we planned months out.
Well, I do that. I like to get ahead.
Yeah, get ahead.
Actually,
of it.
I had a comment reach out. You know, they I guess it was a few weeks ago. They said, "Hey, have you booked out or whatever? September, August, September. I haven't booked yet. I'm on the road, but I'm going to probably do it in the next week or couple weeks." And it just so happened, on Saturday when I was sitting there, I'm off by myself. I'm home. My wife's not. She's like, I'm like, I started sending people, you know, reaching out to some people, and people had reached out to me. I'm like, yeah, hey, well, I happen to have these dates open. So the comics, he called me, messaged me today. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm booked through August. You know, I got some September, October. And, oh, well, you said that, you know, I'm like, well, dude, what do you think? I sit there and wait for one comic? I book it as it comes.
Right. Got to go.
Got to go. And you got to get ahead. When you book, you got to be a few months ahead, especially since I do it weekly. Otherwise, you know, something.
Oh, yeah, forget about it.
It's a nut thing. All right. So and we talked a little about comedy and what you guys did. But I was saying Off the Hook Comedy Club. I consider my home club because it is. You know, I work there a few times a year now. I know I'm one of the house features for the room, but it's great. And you know, as a comic, it's tough, but you don't get a hotel as a feature.
No.
Unless you're staying with the headliner, which, you know, even when I work over for Rich Voss, he's not letting me stay with him.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Rich is not going to.
Eric Myers does let me stay with him.
Yeah, of course he would,
lucky.
You know.
And which is great because it's like, you know, I do feel like my comedy gets better when I hang out with Eric. It's like playing tennis with somebody who's better than you at
absolutely.
Tennis.
Absolutely. So now you guys also did Winter Circle. Did you go to that?
Oh, God, we did. I love Winter Circle. I'd never worked that room. I had so much fun. And Bill, who
owned Bill Alcock, owner of Winter Circle.
Awesome guy. Yeah. Really passionate about
loves to get. He's been around doing comedy a long time, Winter
he's
Circle.
He's great. And then he opened another room called the Tin Cup Tavern.
Right.
At the Imperial Lakes Country Club, and we did their first comedy show Saturday night.
That's funny, yeah. It's great because it's right there. The hotel where you stay is basically, you can get drunk as hell at Winter Circle, and then, you know, you
go
can
to
just
Swan Imperial.
You walk right
across
by
the street,
right by Krispy Kreme Donuts.
That's right.
And then you walk right to your Imperial Hotel.
Winter Circle's great. I had such a great time. The people in Lakeland are awesome.
They're always fun. And you know, it's like that was one of the clubs I first got to, you know, when I first started featuring. I was one of the guys that said, yeah, come and do it. AZ, the comedian AZ, brought me up there one time.
Hey, this is AZ, everybody.
Where is he now?
I don't know. But yeah, he's probably out, you know, he's a CIA agent or something selling Mustangs. Any rate, but that's cool. You guys had to do that, and you guys all shared a room there because I guess like we got to see Eric Rosenblum's PJs.
Yes, I did Snapchat Eric Rosenblum's PJs. Who he's hysterical. We had such a good time with Eric. We all just packed into a room. Road life, comedy.
Nice,
which is fun. That's part of the fun part about the job.
Absolutely, you know that's the thing. It's like I'm going to be in. I'm flying to. I'm actually flying to India. This is interesting. I have I want to pull up his name now. I'm actually going to be featuring at the Mississippi Moon Bar in Dubuque, Iowa, at the Diamond Joe Casino on Wednesday, May 31st.
Now, are you a gambler?
Yeah, I'm a poker player. And
okay, so you'll poker while you're there.
They don't have a poker. Yeah, I hope so. They don't have a poker room. But like the last time I was there, I actually went and played some blackjack and won like $400. So no, you get paid, you know,
right?
And then you get
$400. And then you get to go spend
it. Yeah. And then, you know, I was like, wow, this is a real good gig. But last time I did, I fly to Chicago and drive, rent a car in 3.5 hours to Dubuque. And then on 1st and 2nd of June, I'll be at the Penguins Comedy Club.
Where's that at?
That's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
So now Jeff Bodart, who's the headliner, lives in Indianapolis. And I reached out to him and said, hey, man, is there any way you can, instead of me renting a car, any way you can pick me up when you drive? Because to get from where he lives in Indianapolis, I guess, through there, you got to maybe pass through Chicago. He says, I'm not going through Chicago. Shit. He goes, well, you fly in Indianapolis. I go, dude, I'll fly in Indianapolis. Southwest flies in Indianapolis. I'm flying in Indianapolis. He's picking me up. So that's like a cool thing. Now, you know, hey, he's going to pick me up. Don't have to rent a car. You know, share gas money.
Right.
You know, share some of the costs. And that's what being on the road's all about, man. And like scheduling, you know, I looked at my calendar. I said, I got to put some stuff together here. I'm trying to get back at Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. Because I'm featuring at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in October.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I hate to just fly there, spend 4 days there. If I can go do Cuyahoga Falls, which is a four-hour drive, the next week, you know, get a hotel cheap for 2 nights and then go right to another gig.
Oh, Binky's calling.
Oh. Well, can't miss Binky's call.
Let's put her on for a second. Binky, I'm on my podcast. How are you?
Hi, Bunny.
Binky and Bunny.
Binky and Bunny. Do you want to say anything to our listeners?
Hi.
All right. That was cute, Binky. I'll call you when we're done.
Yeah, call me when you're done.
All right.
Because I have a lot to talk about.
Oh, good. Like makeup. Juicy. What do Binky and I talk about? Makeup? People we can't stand?
Yeah.
All right. I'll call you back.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. Anyway, we've got a couple minutes left of the opening show part of the segment. But, hey, listen, see live comedy. But I'm excited that if this is a possibly maybe kind of thing, a weekend thing in Boca.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
A real room.
It's going to be, like I said, it's in the works.
You're going to take on the responsibility of booking it yourself? Or are you going to work through like the same agency that you're trying to work with the other thing? Or
yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know how often we're going to do it. We're just going to, I'm working out some of the kinks with the venue. And, you know, we just want to make sure, you know, build the room correctly. So yeah. We're going to look at all the marketing and look at all of those things and then work on the schedule. But even if it's, you know, once a month to start until we get into season, and then we can look at doing it every week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I got fish jumping in the boat. It was like it kind of came to me.
Yeah.
Well, don't you love that saying? I love saying that about I got fish jumping in the boat. I love cliches.
Yeah, like the early bird catches the worm.
Yeah, that's just how I used to date a guy. I won't say who he is because he's married now. But if he was single, I'd mention his name. And I used to call him Captain Cliche.
Yeah.
Because he would talk in cliches. Like everything I would say to him, like I'd talk about my day and be like, well, that's how the cookie crumbles.
Oh, God.
Same thing. Yeah, I got to get to work. Yeah, well, the early bird gets the worm.
And you thought you enjoyed this, did you?
He was very hot.
Oh, well,
he was, a matter of fact, one of the hottest guys in Delray. And just by me saying that, there's some people know who I'm talking about.
But yeah, okay. So, but he spoke in cliches.
And he used to date a stripper at Rachel's for a really long time.
Yeah, well, who didn't? Just saying. And by the way, guys, since we're on the dating stripper rule, remember, it's a 2-week rule. The Dougie Almeida, if you're going to date a stripper, it's 2 weeks. Don't go past 2 weeks. It never works. It never lasts. You're better off cutting that at 2 weeks. I don't care how good it is. Listen, I've had people that say, you don't know. Listen, trust me. 2-week rule. That's it. It doesn't get any better. The 2 weeks, dating a stripper for 2 weeks is like the first 10 minutes of doing cocaine. You understand what I'm saying? It never gets better.
It's like shrooms.
It never gets better than that 10. It never gets better than that 10 minutes. It never gets better than that 2 weeks. Because if you go 2 weeks in one day, to the day, I can assure you, you're going to wake up, you're going to go to the club, you're going to say, okay, come and get me, I'll get off at 2, and then you're going to sit there like a schmuck out in that parking lot, and for some reason, something else came up, she left early, and you're sitting out there, and the security guard comes up to you and says, can I help you? I'm waiting for my girlfriend.
Is this from experience?
No, listen, I'm just saying.
That could happen.
That's a possible scenario.
I have gotten to know the girls better now that I've been working at a gentleman's club.
Yeah.
And I will say, it was a new experience. I love those girls, by the way. Right. I love the girls at Scores. You know what I always wonder, though? Is there a difference? Is there a different stigma in when it comes to dating? Is there a different stigma when it comes to dating a dancer versus a cocktail waitress that works at the gentleman's club? Mm. Or is it... boom, when you go to work, you go to a gentleman's club and that's it. Do you think the guys see a difference?
Yeah, listen, because the cocktail waitress is the expression is a dancer in training. You know, because the cocktail waitresses watch how much money the girls make. And after a while, they're like, you know what? People like me. And then they know, and they become dancers. So if you're dating a cocktail waitress, which is kind of cool. Let me tell you why that's a really good move. First of all, I'll say that was always my in. You know, it was always the cocktail waitresses that liked me because they saw the money. They, this guy, no, good looking, you know, whatever this guy, you know, and they were like, and they come, oh, you know, I wish guys like you would, you know, oh, yeah. And then because they don't talk. The cocktail wait, if you start having a relationship with a stripper, she's going to go into the back and like, oh, he's going to tell everybody in the fucking room, which kind of pisses all over, and you can't date any. So if you're going to pick a stripper, make sure you pick the one you want because she's going to piss all over the other ones. You know,
right, like kind of marking, you mean, like a territory?
Yeah, unless you get one that doesn't like her, and then she's purposely going to try to bang with you. You know what I mean? That's happened because, oh, I don't like that bitch, so I'm gonna have that guy. And then she'll come over, and, you know, next thing you got a little, that's when you're like the art of the deal, baby. You get Trumpster, and that's when you make the art of the deal, and you get
the art of the deal.
And that's when you can put 4 weeks together, folks. Actually, you might have a layover in between, but then you get 4 to 5 weeks with that kind of fun life. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay, I was just curious to know, though, like I said, is it okay to date? And what's the equivalent? Like, so, like, if a guy dates a dancer, what's that equivalent to, like, a girl dating,
dancing,
like, a gigolo?
Like a fireman?
A cop?
Yeah, cop. No, a cop. I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you think about it, like, a stripper, the guy's thinking she's wild and crazy, which, by the way, it's not always that way.
Right. What would it compare to, though? Like, he's dating a stripper. What would I be dating? What would be, like, I'm dating...
like an Uber driver?
No, like a...
like a bartender? Like a hot bartender?
A hot bartender.
At that big club, like, you know, like Tom Cruise over there at Cocktail?
Yeah, because, like, we would never... girls, like, when we go to see the male review, Double D's does a male review show once a month, but it's so, like, silly. Like, we would never... Yeah. One of them I would.
Yeah.
One, I would.
I mean, you can't, because if you thought, if some, like, there's a stigma where strippers are stupid.
They're not.
If they've been in the business a long time, they're stupid. Trust me. Yes. Listen, if most of the smart ones end up moving on and doing other things, then there's the ones that just, that they know what they're doing and that's what they do, and they're putting their money away, and you know, you find out they have $300,000 in a fucking, in a suitcase in their,
right.
In their, you know what I mean? So that, let's understand how they know what
they're
doing.
Spend their, okay. So how they spend their money, questionable, but how they make their money, they know exactly what they're doing.
Listen, it doesn't, everybody has a plan. I had a client one time, by the way, Bill Alcock from Winter Circles Watch. What's up, Billy? But everybody has a, you know, plan. Like, hey, Billy, one of my most successful clients was a guy who was a construction worker guy. He never made more than $50,000-$60,000 a year, right? Didn't have kids and stuff, but he had the shittiest car. He always drove a shitty pickup truck. He had an apartment with little, you know, no big screen TV, nice. Leather, just modest kind of dude.
Hot.
And this guy, never made, but this guy had a shitload of money put away. By the time he got to 65, he had like a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm dating a guy now who, it's funny, he's really smart. I'm dating a guy and he has a Honda Element.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, and I'm not a gold digger. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not a gold digger. This is not about the kind of car that he drives, but it's funny. I was telling the Erics about it on the road, and I'm like, it's a Honda Element, and he has it because he needs to, like, transport. He plays music and stuff. So yeah. He has it so that he can put his shit in the back, his bike.
Transports Rubik's Cubes.
Right, but I'm like, you can also do that with, like, a Tahoe.
Yeah.
You know, like, please tell me, like, you got this, you won this car, right? You got this for free, your Honda died.
By the way, you missed that part, Bill Alcock. She talked about the big winner circle thing, dude. So, but yeah, Bill mentioned that, you know. But there's two cars that don't need an anti-theft device. Right, the Honda Element
does not need one.
You don't need to lock the doors. And the Nissan Cube. These are two cars that have
What about the Kia Rio? Doesn't that kind of fall into that category too?
You're still gonna get somebody who needs to drive a car. They don't mind driving that little thing. But the Cube
it
comes with optional door locks, for God's sakes. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Jen Hellman.
Hi.
And we'll be back with what you need to know right after this.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show!
Nothing phases that dog.
Nothing.
Anyway, I've been putting a lot of my dog on Facebook and social media lately. Hey, you saw the video of him eating my shoe.
Yes, I saw him, and I saw him laying on his back.
Yeah, like when he was. We went for a really long walk. I really feel bad. My one dog who has diabetes, and she's blind, the big one. She really can't. I try to take her for a walk, and I can't walk them together because the Jack Russell pulls you, and she lumbers like she like it's a sniff every you know. So I said, you know what? I did on Saturday. I went, you know, we have a Subway down the road, about a mile.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? What a good way to get your lunch. Like the old days, like I'm a hunter. You know, like I'm out
like
there
a
hunting.
Like gatherer?
Yeah. Like I went out on a hunt to get some Subway. You know what I mean? And I took the dog with me, and he was so happy because he was just running ahead. He didn't have to worry about the slowpoke. You know what I mean? He's so happy. And then eventually got into that rhythm where he was just walking with me. He stopped sniffing stuff. And we get there, and I said, you know what? People bring their dogs on a plane. I'm bringing my goddamn dog in the Subway.
Why not? Oh, my God. I bring my dog everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're inspiring me, too.
Bill was Alcock. We had Nico, like, running around the inside of the comedy club. Yeah. Like, just running free.
Yeah, you're glad somebody didn't pick him up, and next thing you know, he's on the chicken wing list. Did you eat the chicken wings, by the way?
I don't eat meat, but they smell delicious.
Oh, I love the teriyaki chicken wings.
I heard. And then, do they have peanut butter and jelly chicken wings?
Yeah.
People are getting crazy with food.
They like to try different things over there in Winter Circle and Lakeland. So if you're ever there, stop in and get some wings.
I don't eat meat. Yeah, it's tough being on the road too. I eat like such shit. I eat a lot. Yeah.
I was the bat when I was gone for 2 weeks because I was in Little Rock, and it was like, oh, you know, I go to the shop. I go shopping, so I try to get some cold cuts and things. Eat some. What are you gonna eat? You know, dinner. I'm gonna leave the club and go down the road to Applebee's. No, I gotta. I got to eat the club food, whatever.
Well, at least, but that's what I'm saying. Winter Circle, great food.
Yeah.
Captain Brian's, great food.
Yeah. Every time I'm there, I get like...
The dog was running the bar like a boss.
Yeah.
Does he hire Bill?
He had immigration showing up. Where's the chihuahua?
We already met the chihuahua. Oh,
that's
Nicosito.
Right. Okay, here's some things you need to know. Segment two on the show. We used to name it segment two. Now we've moved it up to another thing, like what you need to know. Ringland Brothers performed their last show ever.
Oh, isn't that a shame? Does anybody other than pedophiles go to the circus anymore?
I think about it. Like the last time I think I went to the Ringland Brothers circus is when my stepdaughter was like five years old, and we took her there. And it's like, you can't go and watch Ringling Brothers after you go watch something like, what's the ones in Vegas?
Like Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil. You watch
totally different.
I would be nuts. I'm going to go watch some clown juggling.
Right. Plus, I'd much rather watch humans abuse themselves than humans abuse
animals. In a Cirque du Soleil, it's humans that can fall.
Right.
And get crushed.
They did, right? Yeah, didn't somebody die recently?
Yeah, the acrobats that fell in Vegas. Yeah.
That's on him?
Yeah, I had a friend that went to watch Ka in Vegas when they're on the bungee cords and they're flying around and they snatch his phone because you can't take any photography in there, and they'll come down and steal your shit.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a new one. There's a Circa coming this summer, isn't there? Here?
They usually get them over here by Hard Rock Stadium. They usually get like the tent out there. But like, who the hell's gonna go watch? Tiger Guy with a fucking chair and
right.
a whip. Oh, I'm gonna.
Wait. And the elephant standing on its back legs, and like I'll just eat a lot and stand on my back legs. You can come pay me.
Who's buying tickets?
I'm insinuating that I'm an elephant.
Yeah, well, but there's no more Ringling Brothers, and good because it's a stupid show.
Yep.
Right. I mean, they try to bring the motorcycles in that run around that big metal thing.
What are the clowns going to do? Isn't there like an actual clown school? Can't you go to Clown University?
Yeah. Can you imagine being that guy? Can you imagine some guy? His first job he had was being a VCR repairman. The guy was making some money. He was fixing VCRs, and then no more VCRs. And he said, okay, I got to get a new job. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go work in the toll. I'm going to take toll. I'm gonna work for the Division of Motor Vehicles.
Getting rid of those people. That's a terrible job.
Yeah, easy. So now he's gone. So he says, you know what? I'm gonna be a fucking clown.
Why not?
You know what? I'm gonna go to clown school. He spends $50,000 to go to Clown University to find out that the one people that hire you.
But they also did you know that there's a big clown sex fetish?
Yeah.
I remember that. I was young on HBO. Remember what was like Real Sex or something on
people
HBO?
People dressed as clowns.
Yeah, that's like a thing. People are into like dressing as clowns and getting randy. Matt Lasky, he's from Baltimore.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's going to see some Cirque tonight, he says, or Sunday night.
Sunday night. Oh, good.
They'll
is
become
that
gigolos,
like, again, I mean, not the, I sound like I'm like sexually repressed, but isn't there something kind of weird? Like when guys watch stuff like Cirque du Soleil or whatever, you see like the acrobatics, do they immediately go to like what they could do to her?
Oh, you mean like when the contortionist?
The contortionist has her like legs like completely like out and twisted and behind her ears.
I know a buddy of mine that can't watch like women's gymnastics with people around.
That's great. I hope he's not a gym fucking gymnastics coach.
He's teaching a local high school. No, I'm not. But of course, it always enters a guy's mind when the woman's bending backwards.
Right.
And she almost has her own chin up.
I mean,
her own
I
ass.
Think about it and I'm like, huh.
Well, see, you're part guy.
I am.
You do have like a, you know.
Listen, or what did you call me? You called me an alpha. No, what did you call me? A manly.
Yeah, that was a bad call. But listen,
that's terrible.
I sometimes get caught up in words. But, you're like. It's like I said, like my wife. Like my wife's a strong, independent, like
alpha,
you know what I mean.
Female.
So she kind of has those things, you know what I mean, which is great at times. At times it's great. Cause she's like, fuck, I don't have to worry about her. You know what I mean? She's taking care of herself. But then she brings that bravado onto me, and I'm gonna punch her in the fucking face sometimes.
But you don't.
I can't. But you want to. Hey, look, you got. But of course I'm not. I've never hit a woman in my life.
Good for you.
I can honestly say that. By the way, I've never hit a woman in my life.
I can't say that.
By the way, Bill Alcock mentioned every guy in the audience thought about sex that night where you were performing.
Oh, thank you. I think, right? Yeah, that's good. I hope they laughed too, though. They were laughing. We had a great time.
What's up, Joel Pace? What's up, my friend? Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't know if you're the boy.
Saw some guys watching the show. I'm watching the game this weekend. Yeah.
Only a chick would call a hockey game a show. You know what I always thought about in hockey? I would always be great. Wouldn't it be great if hockey is the only sport where the players can, like, okay, let's do this, and they could fight.
Right. I know.
Wouldn't that be great in NBA if all of a sudden the two big forwards got pissed at each other and just started, like, swinging for a while? That would be great.
Hockey. I don't know. Yeah, I heard they got a touchdown. That's great.
Speaking of the wife, she's all excited because we are going to be in Orlando. We're going to do weekend things without... You know, as a comic, your weekends are pretty. So it's really nice to do something different. Like, it's nice when you do something different.
Yeah, of course.
Not just go out to dinner. So we're going to go. We're going to Orlando. I'm going to be headlining the Bonkers in East Orlando on July 21st, I think it is. But then on Saturday, we're going to the new stadium in Orlando to go watch a soccer team like Juventus. Like, professional teams from Europe play each other. Yeah. What? Not a good idea? Damn.
Jesus, I fell asleep with you telling me that story.
Shit. Well, she's the one who thought it. You know, she's a big soccer fan.
She was the one. Oh, really?
No, she likes
it. She was like,
let's
go to Orlando and see a soccer game.
She tries. You know what I'm saying?
That is amazing. That is, I would
but
be like.
You mentioned it. The thing to do, because you're right, the summer series here of the Circus du Soleil, they have them down here.
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing to take. The guys, if you want to impress your old lady.
That's right.
You know, get a pump for your penis and take them to Circus du Soleil.
And it's concert season. I've been going to, I went to Sunfest. I said I wasn't going to go to Sunfest, and I went from not going to getting a 5-day pass.
Right.
I went for 4 days. I'm going to see The Shark has a concert on Sunday. I can't wait. Undertow, which is like Group Love and K-Flay. All my dark shit is going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's a great, take your girl to a concert.
That's always fun.
It's summertime.
I think it was the last concert I took my old lady to was the Led Zeppelin experience with Jason Bonham.
Was that over at the Science Center?
No, it was actually over in Hard Rock Live, which was awesome. You know, and I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan.
Yeah,
so,
who isn't?
Right? And nothing better. We're sitting there. You know, listen to the, you know, I didn't, you know, my wife doesn't really smoke. But we're sitting
there. Cigarettes or weed?
Weed, nothing. She doesn't smoke any. Literally.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Trust me. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? And so people are, yeah, it's nothing. You're sitting at a concert and people are passing in front of you like, of course, you know, I'm not going to smoke.
And yeah, you got to take a hit. Although you got to be careful because you never know what's in there.
Right.
I've had that happen. You know, you smoke and then you're like.
Next thing you know, you're blowing a donkey.
Right. That, exactly.
You're having sex with.
And I'm trying to find my pants.
Anybody got a joint?
Hey, anybody?
All right. So so listen, no more Ringling Brothers. The animals are great. I thought this was funny. You know, we found something that the Democrats are good at, and that's bitching and complaining. Listen, I got a few things here about this. I've been on the record. I thought this was hilarious, if you didn't see it on Facebook, how Melania...
Yes.
Trump and Donald Trump and Melania were walking with Netanyahu.
Yes.
And you could tell he was like, Trump was like right on Netanyahu. It was like, you know, boy, is the relationship between the United States and Israel really tight. But he was right at his side, you know, because he keeps worrying about people don't think he looks whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
Right. So, and of course, Melania, right, he's walking up and she's walking up and he reaches to grab her hand and she swats his hand away.
Right, and there was criticism early on that he doesn't take her hand.
Well, like when he went to the first, I guess when he took over the White House, you know, he didn't wait for Melania to get out. He went right up to the president with her walking behind him with the gift.
Right.
Bit of a dopey move.
Yeah. You know, I don't really concern myself too much, though, with these, like, with the relation. Like, some of the things that bother me is when, you know, they criticize Donald Trump and Melania and his ethics and his being a womanizer, because at the end of the day, like, I just want some clarification. I like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton fucked an intern the White House.
That's right.
Behind his wife's back. And I'm not saying that one is better than
my
the
official
other.
Official presidential seal.
Thank you for that, Dougie. I'm just saying, like, if I'm not going to judge Bill Clinton, I'm not going to judge Donald Trump.
Jen Hellman, by the way, Joel Pace, my co-host today. And Bob Gala, big Pittsburgh fan, Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, yeah, I see Penguins.
Big Pen. Listen, but here's the thing. Anger protester erupt over results of a California Democratic Party election. They didn't like it. So two Democrats are fighting. You know, they're trying to win. Right. And then now one loses. And we know how Democrats can't handle losing.
Right.
Supporters of losing candidate of the California Democratic Party race for chairperson were out in a masse early on Sunday morning at the state convention in Sacramento. Many calling for investigations of the party's voting process. See, nobody can just accept what the... Like this fucking... Listen, the Trump thing's going to come back negative. There's not going to be any collusion, not going to be able to prove anything. Matter of fact, there is a growing... We have this on our stories. That next story, we got things you got to know. We have a grow... The story continues to grow, and everybody keeps squashing it. Nobody in the liberal media is going to talk about it, but this DNC guy who got killed, this guy who got murdered, shot in the back... In Washington.
In the back, which
Seth
says a
Rich,
lot.
Seth Rich is the gentleman's name. He was a member of the Democratic National Committee. He is what people are now saying that this is the guy.
Thank you, Peter.
This is the guy.
Sorry.
This is the guy who actually released the WikiLeaks, all the DNC emails to the WikiLeaks. So it wasn't the Russians. And you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. Here's a storyline. Here's in law we say you know, a story that can hold water. So here's a little situation. Let's say that this guy Seth Rich released this information because he realized how corrupt his own party was.
Right.
And he knows Hillary's a cunt. So he says, you know what? I'm gonna release these to the WikiLeaks, and then we're gonna expose them. Now the DNC, the Democratic Party, and Hillary says, what the? And then she calls in a favor. And this guy gets gunned down, and now they start putting things in place to make it look like Russians took it.
Right.
To make it and make Trump
look like...
This sounds
very House of Cards. Yeah, this is what I think happened.
This is what I know happened, okay?
I think Hillary's fucking Putin.
Listen, let me tell you something. You know, if anybody wants to talk
Let's
about...
Let's investigate.
How can any Democrat talk about obstruction of justice after Bill Clinton jumped on the plane with the Attorney General while his wife was being investigated?
I didn't even know that happened.
You don't remember that big thing during the summer? This summer.
That was this summer?
This summer, while Hillary was being investigated by Comey, when the first investigation started, you know, what's the black woman who's the...
Aunt Candelisa Rice.
Not Candelisa, Condoleezza Rice. But
can of Rice.
Can of Rice. I don't... It's, but listen, I can't remember. Albright. Not Albright. That's whatever. But the lady who was
attorney...
There's
only one black woman that works in Washington.
Yeah, well,
there were two. There was Obama's wife and
yeah,
Condoleezza
but this,
Rice.
She was... But she was the attorney, whatever. She was attorney, and Bill Clinton ends up getting on the back of a plane with her. And then,
and
you know,
doing what with her?
There was just a private conversation for over 30 minutes. They said, oh, we were talking about golf and our kids. Okay, sure. Yeah, right. My wife's being investigated by the Justice Department, which you lead, you know, and we're gonna have that conversation. Let's not talk about it. Loretta Lynn. Thanks, Matthew. Jesus, God.
Loretta Lynn, she just passed away. The singer?
Not Loretta Lynn, Loretta Lynch.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
I'm glad our listeners pay attention.
Loretta Lynn.
Loretta Lynn. That Cold Miner's Daughter?
Yeah, I love, I have the Loretta Lynn station on my Pandora, right. Although I don't listen to country music anymore.
No, I me either. I like to stay uppity.
I had someone ruin that for me. Thank you.
Conspiracy theories surrounding Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich's death. Back in July last year, reemerged over the weekend after hacker Kim.com said the former was WikiLeaks source.
Kim.com.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about that for a minute. That's like calling myself like I'm like a convenience store dot robber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my name's DougieComedian.com. In his tweets.com offered his to give Congress written testimony with evidence that Seth Rich was WikiLeaks source. Congress agrees to include the Seth Rich case in their Russia probe. In other words, so again, while you're trying to see if Russia is trying to fucking screw up the election, it turns out one of their own did it.
Of course.
And you know, again,
it's always an inside job. I just wanted to say that.
I don't care how you feel about Russia, but the fact if whoever exposed it, they exposed the corruption that was within the Democratic Party.
Right. So however you got there, who cares?
How we got the information.
Right. You found out that your husband cheated on you. Doesn't matter which one of you who told you. You know that your husband cheated
on you.
You're
going to go kill the neighbor because he told you?
Right. Don't kill the messenger.
That's right. Don't kill the messenger.
That's right.
Let's have an investigation. No.
I know. They remind me of my mom growing up. She was like Nancy Drew. She wanted to fucking investigate everything.
Don't bring up Maxine Waters, by the way, that crip. This is a woman that keeps calling for his impeachment. But meanwhile, you know, she's hard, that the black woman congresswoman from New York, from California.
The other black woman in Washington.
Yeah, the other black woman in Washington. They call her auntie, like she's got some power. She's a fucking, this woman's middle name should be term limits. This woman has overdone her time. Just she doesn't know who she comes off like a disgruntled, like the woman who never got asked to be on the, she never, I guarantee you, she never got asked to the prom. That's the problem. Maxine Waters never got invited to the prom or any fucking dance. The Sadie Hawkins dance, everybody told her no.
Sadie Hawkins, that's where the girl asked the guy.
That's where the guy, right. The girls.
You know what, though? You know, you got me thinking, like, I'm so proud of the women that have made it to Washington, but at the same time, we need some better women in Washington. Like, I really want, I would love to have a female president. I just didn't want it to be Hillary Clinton.
No,
like,
because she's crazy. Listen, I don't care. Listen, here's the thing. And this is one thing I don't like. When people call Trump racist, all this, I don't think he gives a shit about that. He just cares about people who can do what the fuck they're doing. And you know what? Like me, I don't care who it is. I don't give a shit. You know, again, I go on the pond. I judge people based on my experience with them, and that's it.
Right. So you know feel like when he says, like, there are some bad hombres.
Because there are bad hombres. You know, you know what I mean? It's like I was working with a comic, Vince Morris, tell a great joke. I don't want to tell his joke, but basically the joke was that, you know, the guy says, look, there was a black guy, two Chinese guys, and this. And somebody says, that's racist. No, it's not. There was fucking, you know.
That's what was there.
Now, the only way we can, I was thinking about this a lot this weekend. The only way we can get rid of racism, the only way that you can rid the populace of racism is if you get away from the distinction of race. In other words, the only way... Aside from sex, like female, male.
Right.
Right? That's it. And if you want to get rid of sexism or that, you have to get rid of that distinction as well.
That they're different.
Like, why do I need a piece of paper to tell me, oh, George is Hispanic. Okay, that's good. Why the fuck... Listen, I don't need to know if he's Hispanic. If I hear him speaking Spanish, I don't give if he's Hispanic or if he's from the Antarctic. If he could speak Spanish.
But I don't think that the racism doesn't come from identifying somebody as Spanish or black or Jewish Irish.
If you got rid of race, like race distinction, white, black, Caucasian, Asian, whatever you take the, if you take that, why the fuck? That's the only way that you will get rid of racism is eventually say, look, we are not categorizing people based on race anymore. Like, think about why
but
do I
need
it?
It's an obvious thing. If I'm driving in Miami and it's a total shit show and everybody around me is Spanish, I'm not, there's no distinction. They are Spanish. And they are driving like shit in Miami.
They're just bad
drivers.
I'm
just saying, for example.
It doesn't matter. They're bad drivers. Like, the reason, there's a good reason why there's a lot of bad drivers that turn out to be Latin in Miami. That's because many of them come here. They haven't driven on these roads, right? Like, Haitian drivers are the worst.
Right. Some of them.
And it's not because Haitians are not. No, listen.
Because that's what we're supposed to say. Some Haitian drivers.
Listen, but they got a good reason. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, that's mean to say. No, it's true. They're fucking horrible because they're not used to driving a bike. You know what I mean? Or they're not used to driving on these. So that's how you know.
You know who's getting? You know who's starting to lead? I think, and I spend a lot of time on the road. You know who's getting to be the worst drivers on the road?
Who?
Redneck men.
Really?
Redneck men in a pickup truck who are stoned and trying to utilize their phone at the same time.
I don't know how you can see him in those trucks.
The white man. That's who's bringing it down. The white man.
Fucking up the roads.
I'm racist against the white man.
That's right. It's time that, you know. But I'm telling you right now, the only way.
Unless he thinks I'm cute and wants to take me out, then I'm going to ride in your truck.
That's right.
Or your Honda Element.
It's great when you're in a truck, because when you're in a truck, you can do anything in the truck and no one sees you. You know what I mean? I mean, you can get, you know, some road, you know. It's a great place for roadhead.
You can say it, Dougie.
I know. Listen, every time I bring it, I get punched in the face. I'm only kidding.
Really?
Yeah, I've tried. It's been a long time. But, you know, but then again, I'm at that age where, you know, I can't help but think of the worrisome part of it. You know, I'm at that age where when I'm getting roadhead, it's almost
so you don't want to have to concentrate on all that at the same time anyway.
You know, I got
to
remember my blinker.
It is.
You know,
it's
gotta,
a lot.
You know, I got to remember a 10 and 2.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
And you got, and then it's hard to, and you want to like reward her, but you're concentrating on the road.
Yeah, I
got to
remember
really
to say, "Oh, thanks,
her.
Oh, this feels so good." And then I got to look in my rearview mirror every 3 seconds.
Yeah, but that's closer because you're married. See, that's the thing. I had a whole like a sexual rebirth because I got divorced.
Yeah.
And so
I wonder what that's going to be like.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, rebirth. Although I will say this.
Happy birthday, belated birthday, Brock Carroll, by the way.
By the way, I will say this. What's one thing when I'm on the road, like when I was in Little Rock, an older woman really had the, you know, wanted me. And she was, you know, and it was, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of when I'm on stage, I'm playing with that persona a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I got to be careful because I'm within the show, I talk about being married. You know, you want to be that schmuck, you know, hey, he's an asshole.
Right, you know. Right.
Anyway. Hey, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Jen Hellman.
Hi.
And Nico. Oh,
Nico.
He hasn't thrown up yet.
He hasn't thrown up yet. Thank God. Don't throw up.
He hasn't thrown up yet. Good for him. And we'll be back with stories from straight from the headlines right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see his show? You can catch me April 20th to the 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
Hey, this is Bob Gullo with the Wake Up Dougie Show. It's time to wake up and bake.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah.
All right, we're into the headlines. Let's hear it.
That's right. It's time for straight from the headlines. We talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Unlike the real stuff that's happening. All this is really stuff. 10 people are hospitalized with botulism.
Oof.
Tied to nacho cheese sauce that they ate at a truck stop. Now, there's some times where something bad happens to people and you feel bad.
Right.
Right? Like just misfortunes occurred, you know, the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing.
Right. But if you're eating from a taco truck, that is 100% on you.
If your ass turns into a fire hydrant.
I know these people, too. They're like, oh, it's the best barbecue ever. Oh, you got to go to Tacos. I've been to Tacos Al Carbon in Lake Worth. I know everybody loves Tacos Carbon.
Yeah.
Al Carbon. And like, I feel like I'm getting salmonella just walking up to the food truck.
Right.
But
you don't trust food trucks?
No. No, I don't. And that's, except like my one friend, he's a vegan. He talked about maybe doing like a vegan van, like vegan van again. I would trust that.
Yeah.
But yeah, botulism. That's pretty bad. That means like, you know, remember that means the can. They knew they were serving botulized. Yeah.
That just sounds painful. 10 people have been hospitalized after they contracted botulism from eating nacho cheese sauce served at a gas station outside of Sacramento. It's probably why they had that disruption over at the Democratic voting.
Was that a gas station? I thought it was a food truck.
According to a state and local officials, Sacramento County Department of Health and Human Services said in a statement last week that the cause of illness appears to be prepared food, particularly nacho cheese sauce from the gas station in Walnut Grove. Listen, sometimes, you know, cheese is so appetizing when it's melted and it's dripping and you're thinking, oh, you know, but there's when cheese sits there like that, so much shit sticks to it. Like stuff in the air.
It's a tacky food.
Botulism is a rare illness caused by nerve toxins released from bacteria that makes you shit a lot.
That's weird because when I get Botox, I don't shit a lot. And that's the same thing that's in the Botox.
Yeah, but I think that's in your skin, no?
Yeah.
It's not like going in your stomach.
No. And I think they take the poison out. Yeah. Let's hope.
Let's hope. Symptoms can include blurred vision, droopy eyelids, slurred speech, and paralysis, among others. In some cases, it could be fatal.
Maybe David Allen was saying that maybe a T-lixer might clear that up for them.
Yeah, give him a T-lixer and don't stand behind him. It's a good thing to do.
You will not want T-Lixer after she's had botulism. You will not want T-Lixer.
Hey, our friend has botulism. Can you help her? Here, hold on. So let me,
would you like T-Lixer?
Yeah, no, I ain't coming near that shit. Do you ever go to have one of those moments where you're going to, you know, take care of somebody and realize, oh my God?
No.
Sounds like, smells like they have botulism down here.
No.
Never happened?
No. No. I have not. No, not even married. Because, you know, you start to let shit go.
Yeah.
A little bit when you're married. Like, oh, babe, I just worked out. You just don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, babe.
Yeah, you're like, and still in love. It's part of this fun of it.
I haven't shaved in 8 months. It's like Demi Moore in Playboy in 1983.
That's the worst. I backed off one time. I felt bad. It was too obvious.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was like, oof.
Whoa.
And this is one of those girls that thought I was crazy about her because I was kind of and then it was the deal breaker.
It was, yeah.
It was a deal breaker.
I always wonder that about some celebrities. Like, I see, like, some really pretty, like, Terry. What was the girl from Desperate Housewives? She's so pretty. Oh, yeah. She was single for a long time. I was like, I wonder.
She has stinky pussy.
Yeah, I was like, her snatch must be nasty or something.
I think that's a bad thing. You know? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Horrible. She's beautiful and everything. She looks great.
Everything's great.
And then all of a sudden, oh!
Yeah, that would suck.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Here's something that sucks. Man castrated transgender woman at her apartment.
And, oh, that's a hate crime.
Well, this is interesting. In Denver, police say a Colorado man without a medical license has been arrested after he allegedly used an army surgical kit to castrate the transgender woman at her Denver apartment. Should I go to the hospital? No, we can do it right here. Police affidavit says James Lowell Pennington, 57, removed the testicles and sutured the opening while the woman's wife witnessed. The wife called 911 about 3 hours later when the blood poured from the incision. The affidavit says the testicles could not be reattached.
Ah, not the testicles.
Because of the lag between the procedures. Pennington was arrested Thursday on suspicion of first-degree assault causing serious bodily injury. Now, who do you blame? Like, do you blame the guy who eats the nacho cheese in the gas station for his sickness? Yes. Do you blame a transgender for going to some guy's, letting some guy come over with a Swiss Army knife? To take care of your sexuality?
Yeah, that's...
Like, at what moment do you go, wait a minute, this isn't a good idea? You know, I don't feel bad for these people.
I mean, that's an issue with education. That's...
How bad
that's
do you
weird.
Want something?
Yeah, no, that's just weird. That, you know that, I mean? That's drug. That sounds like, drug-related. You know, it sounds a little methy.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I could picture, like, if somebody says, hey, man, I know this guy in Hialeah. He could add 4 inches to your penis. You're like, what, really?
Right.
Like, it's safe. I had it done. It's fine. And you go walking in there and some guy's got this saw and some, like, Play-Doh.
Yeah, that's weird. It's not like piercing your... Like, when we were younger, we used to let somebody pierce our ears with, like, a needle. That was stupid. Yeah. But it's, like, piercing your ears or, like, I don't know, like, oh, my buddy does tattoos.
Yeah. Look, I got a dot on my arm. Now, here's... I thought this was a great story because, you know, I'm not a hunter. Although I understand hunting, like I hunted my Subway sub on Saturday.
Right, you were a hunter and gatherer at Publix.
That's right, I hunted and gathered right to Publix. But you know, I remember when I was young, we went out. We used to go snake hunting. We used to go snake hunting. We catch them, then we sell them to, you know, stores and stuff.
Like their skins and stuff.
No, we would actually take the live snake in the pet stores
and sell them,
and you know, and we said, you know, just kids doing stuff, right? So. But, you know, what you do. But never hunting. Like, I had this guy who was a bird hunter. We used to go out the guns, and he'd shoot different. I'm like, I can't. I would miss on purpose. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot the fucking bird.
Right, because you're, stupid.
I'm not a killer. Well, there's people I can shoot and have. Elephant crushes South African hunter to death. Now, this is great.
Elephant?
A guy's going hunting elephants.
Yeah, fuck.
And you know what I mean? Really, hunting an elephant... You know, what do you use? How do you find them? You go on Google Earth and find them? I mean, you know what I mean? They're elephants. They're
smart. You know, they're sensitive animals. Yeah. We already know their intelligence and their emotional intelligence. That's just a dumb fuck.
And South African big game hunter was crushed to death when an elephant picked him up and then fell on him after being shot.
I don't know. What noise does an elephant make? Oh, that was good.
Theonis Botha, 51, a professional hunter who specializes in hunting with hounds, died on Friday in western Zimbabwe. He was leading a group of hunters on a state-owned land in Gwaye region when they disturbed a breeding herd. And you don't ever do that. Imagine they're all sitting there breeding and then...
All of a sudden, Dumpy I can't even up. Stand when my dog jumps on the bed when I'm breeding.
I know. Charged, heard and were charged by four female elephants. One elephant lifted Botha up with her trunk, and a fellow hunter shot the animal dead, the news said. As the elephant collapsed, it crushed Botha, giving him fatal injuries. His body was taken to a mortuary. Good for him. The unfortunate incident happened when the hunting party got in the middle of a breeding. Yeah, you never want to do that. Again, yeah. Never want, you know, if you see, listen, I don't know about you. I don't have a lot of hunting skills, but if I saw two like big elephants
big
fucking,
elephants.
You know, I never like to walk by
your
ducks.
Your first instinct isn't to be like, I want to shoot one of them.
You know what? Let's go ahead and fuck it up. What a cock blocker.
Right. I'm going to shoot that elephant
that's right.
and take it home with me.
Killed by karma.
I don't even know what that accent is.
That was a bit of a Tennessee. Yeah.
That was like a cage. Like I was like the raging Cajun.
Yeah.
I was Bayou.
Hey, let's talk about something we know a little more about.
I don't know about anything, but let's hear it.
Used clothing store gets surprise donation of marijuana.
Hey, that shit never happens to me.
Has anybody seen my weed? Where's all those clothes I had?
So they bought something at a thrift store. And it happened to have some, like, how much weed are we talking here?
Maplewood, Minnesota. Somebody apparently inadvertently donated more than 100 grams of marijuana.
Who talks about marijuana in grams?
Yeah, I don't know. When they
dropped
off. I
don't even know what that comes out to.
I know. Grams, how many are in a quart or quarter? Ounce, grams, ounces, I don't know. Facebook, help us
Can
out with that.
Someone else tell us how many grams are in an ounce of weed.
I forgot where I put it. Exactly. Yeah, let me. How much grams? And how much does 100 grams translate to ounces or pounds? I think it's probably ounces. Maplewood Police Department says more than 100 grams of marijuana when they dropped off some used children's clothes in a suburban Minneapolis shop.
That's even better. I'm gonna put some weed up in my kids.
Pants. Now, either you think the parents were hiding it in the kids' clothes, or the kids were hiding it from their parents in their old clothes.
Oh, here we go. Almost 4 ounces. Damn, that's a lot of weed.
That
Come
is
on.
Lot.
That's shady. That's a weird story. Who accidentally loses 4 ounces?
Well, that sounds like you're hiding it. In other words, you're hiding the weed. Like,
so they foiled something. Something else was going down, and they foiled it, and they wrapped it up in kids' clothes.
I think the kids, you know, the mother said, we're getting rid of these clothes. We're just going to, and the mom, you know, the kid was hiding it from his parents. And he probably
4 ounces. No, he's selling it to somebody.
Well, of course you're selling it. Who could smoke 4 ounces that quick? I mean, would you get? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, an ounce. It's like an ounce. Like
I can't even. Yeah, no, I don't. It's so potent now. I don't even smoke half an ounce.
So yeah, not surprisingly, no one has come forward to claim it. The drug was divided up in dozens of little plastic bags.
Nice.
Police Chief Paul Chanel says because it was packaged for distribution or sale. It's owned, or if identified, could face a felony charge. Yeah, so good luck finding somebody to claim that. Although some dumbass would do that. You know, we had stories here on the show where people would call up, you know, they call the police because somebody robbed them in a drug deal.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, the guy was supposed to sell me an ounce of cocaine. It weighed less.
That's stupid. I know. You know, even like, even with my ATM, I have an ATM, but I have like ATM machines. And it's so funny when people, whenever I install an ATM, there's always just some dipshit that works where I'm installing the ATM going, right. Oh, you're putting the ATM machine in. I'm like, go ahead and try. Because if you, I know exactly what's going on with this ATM machine and I will not be calling the cops. If you rob this ATM machine, I will come get my money and it will not be with the police.
More shady individuals.
Right.
You know, this is a story. The story I'm about to read, I read it a little earlier. It's interesting about saving space or saving somebody's seat. This is something that happened because somebody saved somebody's seat. Now, I understand that, you know, you get somewhere before somebody or somebody else is getting something.
Right.
You got a movie
my
theater.
My person's sitting here.
Yeah, there's somebody sitting here, okay?
Right.
But there should be a time limit. Like, I was at the airport recently. And it was a seat. It was pretty packed. I'm like, and I don't like, whenever I wait for a plane, I usually stand because I'm going to be sitting on the plane anyway.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm tired of running. I'm like, all right.
I'm usually stuffing my face somewhere.
Yeah, somebody's sitting there, right? And they had their bag there and stuff. And now I'm, okay. And I'm like waiting. I'm just standing there kind of leaning up against the wall. And nobody, it's like 15 minutes. I'm like, there's fucking this woman just didn't want somebody to sit there. She said, no, there was nobody coming. You know what I mean?
You think she was just holding the seat so nobody else could sit there?
Yeah, like she didn't, you know.
But wouldn't you feel bad? Maybe her husband was like, maybe her husband had botulism from the cheese at the gas station.
gas station, cheese taco.
And he was blowing up.
Yeah, listen, at that point, you know, I'll get up when they get here.
Good night, Ariel and William. We have to definitely say goodnight to the kids. It's so early, Peter. What are you, like, drugging them before they go to bed? It's so
I know.
They are really little. Actually, I commend you on making sure they go to bed early.
Good. Don't tell me exactly. We're going to give good parenting advice.
Right.
Neither one of us are parents.
Right. I have no kids.
Yeah, I don't either.
Listen, the chihuahua that's starving.
I like to give uncle advice. Like, I tell my nephews, never wear a condom twice. You know? You can't. You know, never give your cocaine to your friend. Let them go in the bathroom with it. It's a bad move.
That's right.
That's the advice.
Wipe from front to back.
from front to back. That's something I recently changed. Although it's so hard to change. You get so used to going the other way. So then I go all over the place.
We're full of advice here.
Yeah, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Learn or die from botulism.
So yeah, she may have been holding the seat, but maybe her husband had botulism.
I was going somewhere not too long ago, and there was somebody standing in a parking spot. I'm like, dude, get the fuck out of the way! I'm parking here.
Oh, I would run them over.
No, the guy's like, come on, dude, get the fuck.
I would definitely at least have a game of chicken. Like, I would pull up close enough.
I just kept inching. I'm like, dude, I'm parking. I'm not driving around. You can't just save a parking spot.
You can't save a parking spot.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've done it before, but you can't do it.
A car would have to save the spot. Like, in other words, like a person would save a seat.
Right.
Right? A person can't save a parking spot.
So are you saying, like, if you drove up and they were pulled into both spots? No.
No. Well, then you can't do anything. That's a way to do
it. It's extra douchey. It's a little douchey. Like, if you got a spot and then you stood in a spot waiting for your friend, that's...
Yeah. I mean, that happened at a Dolphin game a couple of times. Like, I'm like, dude, you want us to back up and go all the way around because your friend's not here yet? I don't know. Just here's a story. Memphis, Tennessee. Grown-ups brawl at high school graduation in Tennessee.
Nice.
Graduation caps weren't the only things flying at one high school commencement in Tennessee after some adults in the audience started throwing punches.
Nice.
Videos posted to social media show a fight between adults breaking out as Arlington High School graduates marched into Memphis Church to the tune of Pomp and Circumstance.
Pop and Circumstance. Pomp. Get it? Pop. Popped you in the face.
Tuesday, the Memphis commercial appeal may have brought on by dispute of saving seats. Arlington Community Schools superintendent says in a statement, it was unfortunate that a couple of adults in the audience exhibited the behavior that they did. Animals! In the ceremony beginning and thus caused a distraction from the celebration of the students. Yeah, I mean, if you can't conduct your... Imagine, feel bad for the kids. Like, Mom, this is my graduation. Why are you beating people up?
Yeah, no, you know, it brings up a very important point about parenting. Now, I'm not a parent.
Yes.
But this goes along the whole issue of, like, you lead by example, parents. If you drink a lot, your kids will drink a lot.
That's right.
If you smoke a lot of weed in front of them, they're going to smoke a lot of weed.
If
you get into a fight, they're going to get into a fight. I mean, I wonder what the fight was about.
If you argue, right, if you lose your cool. Like, I remember one time being on the road, I think it was in Cocoa Beach somewhere, and my stepdaughter was in the car, and some guy, you know, honked and came up behind me, cut up, whatever, and I didn't fucking hold back, motherfucker, you know, when
right.
And that, and then I thought, well, this isn't good behavior for my stepdaughter to be, you know, watching.
Right, watching you lose your shit.
Yeah.
Now, there are other things that I would probably negatively influence my children on, but...
That's right, but we can only, you know, we have to control things somewhere.
Come on, what are you hitting people, punching? But I do like my little pop and circumstance. But yeah... Make love, not war. Don't hit. Aren't these like basics?
You would think. Speaking of not hitting, I don't know if you saw the poor woman who was driving across I-75, which you guys did when you went to off the hook.
We did.
But a woman, her car flipped over, a little mini SUV when she hit an alligator.
Oh.
Driving. You know, can you imagine driving down that road, right? And it's just
down Alligator Alley and seeing an alligator?
Yeah, in the middle. Now, I remember.
That's what that road
is. I've been on I-75. And it was like a busy time of the day. And this is when I drove my BMW 5 M3. You know, the low, everything's low. And the side, you know, fucking fancy bullshit. And I thought was an alligator that the car ahead of me must have hit. I thought, because it's this thing. It turned out it was like a tire retread. You know,
oh, yeah, like that. What are they? Like
the retreads.
They just peel off of the trucks, right?
A retread is when
like,
these truck drivers try to save money.
Right.
They get retreads. So instead of getting a real tire, they get an old tire that has a retread sewn onto it, like a guy's, like the hair
like
club
a
toupee, for men.
Like yeah. a hair, or like a, yeah, like a, yep.
Like a hair club for men kind yeah. of thing. They put that, and these things end up coming off. So sure enough, the car ran over it. And then it hit fucked up my whole front like spoiler and everything,
alignment
and everything. And you know, I remember I thought it was an alligator when it was like fumbling around.
Yeah, they look like alligators on the side of the road.
But this woman, the car flipped, and everything. What the hell? Hold on, trying to find the story. Oh, there it is. But this is on TV. The alligator didn't live, of course.
Aww.
Alligators are getting a lot of press here in Florida, right? The one in Orlando that ate the kid, grabbed the kid and took him in or Disney.
Yeah.
And then we had the girl, the 11-year-old, just a couple weeks ago, 11-year-old who fought off the attack by sticking her fingers in the nose.
Oh, and it worked?
Yeah. You were here. We did the story.
I don't remember that.
Wow.
That is not, but that's not surprising.
Lay off the pipe. Yeah, are you kidding me? Says a woman who hit an alligator on I-75, Sarasota, Florida. A driver escaped serious injury when her SUV hit a 9-foot alligator crossing Interstate 75 in Florida. The Florida Highway Patrol said in a news release, the 35-year-old lawyer, that's, you know, if you're a lawyer, getting, you can hire yourself, you're going to sue the alligator?
Right.
Jennifer Rosinski of Cooper City lost control after hitting the alligator and the car flipped over multiple times. She somehow escaped with bruises and cuts under her right eye. The alligator wasn't lucky. He's dead.
And they're trying to sue the alligator?
Well, the alligator's family's trying to sue her.
Oh, right.
They're
trying to sue the Rosinskis.
The alligator's family is pissed because that alligator was just graduated college and had a scholarship at the University of Florida. Lieutenant Gregory S. Bueno, who everything's cool with, told the Palm Beach Post that crashes involving alligators are rare along the stretch of I-75, even though they're all over the fucking place.
Right.
Rosinski couldn't believe it. She told the paper she first thought that Fox had run in front of her vehicle. I never knew. You hit a big-ass alligator, you're going to flip. Especially one of those mini SUVs.
Yeah, you're going to flip anyway just when you try to turn, let alone hit an alligator.
There you go. Hey, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We want you to try to avoid the alligators on I-75 whenever driving in South Florida. I want to thank Jen Hellman for joining us today.
Thanks for having me today.
And, of course, guys, a lot of comedy coming up. This week's Wise Guys Comedy Show is pretty much almost sold out. Steve Marshall is your headliner, who's a favorite. He was working on his 8th standing ovation in a row. Always a Tavolino's favorite. I'll be there. Rachel Blavatnik is doing a special spot, as well as Nadim Awad, my good buddy.
Oh, I love Nadim. He was at Off the Hook with us.
Yeah, I heard he did well, too. Yeah. Also, this Saturday, I'm going to be headlining in Wilton Manors, Florida, at the Wine and Wit Comedy Show at Novelty.
Wow, that sounds very...
it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right?
You have a lot of good transgender, gay-friendly comedy.
Well, we had a big show there back in April. Virgil Chabon had a show there at Hunter's. It's a gay bar.
I love that. I would love to work.
It was fun. It was a fun show. It was fun. Actually, Chrissy, good, you know, fellow comedian, was up there, and he was talking about titties. And this was gay guys.
Titties.
He was talking about girls who have tits that are funny. You know, and I'm like, they're not. So I got up there. I'm like, dude, what are you doing talking about titties to gay guys?
Right.
Let's talk about balls.
Yeah.
I mean, cock.
Balls that are off.
Yeah.
Weird.
Talk about guys.
They can
be
weird. Balls,
you know,
are
relate
weird.
To your
balls
audience.
Balls are weird.
They are. But you know what? They're like a handbag. when well played with. Anyway, that's all I have time for here. Don't forget this week's Wise Guys Comedy Show. Also, next week, guys, May 31st, I'm going to be at the Dubuque, Iowa, at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino. And on Friday and Saturday, I'm going to be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates coming up. And follow the show here on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie, and join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. How about you?
Let's see. Saturday, I'm at the Black Box Theater in Fort Pierce over with Casey and...
the Sunshine Band?
Yeah, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Casey and Spaz.
Casey and Spaz. I'll be there Saturday night. And then Eric and I are heading down to the Key West room. Have you...
Yeah, Tom Dustin's room.
Yeah, we're getting...
Fun room.
We'll be down there June 1st. I'll be back in Orlando on June 2nd. June 2nd. Maybe it's the other way around, but... Find it all out. Follow me on Instagram at Jen Hellman Media. You can find out on my website at jenhellmancomedy.com. I'm terrible at updating it.
Yeah.
Facebook, Jennifer Hellman Follins, because I don't know what the hell my last name is.
Yeah, you better figure that out
soon. Yeah, that was my New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. And tomorrow, Peter Leonard and Elgin David should be in the studio. We also will have Steve Marshall in the studio for a special show on Wednesday. Don't forget, you can follow us on iTunes. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com for all our shows going back to 2013. Also, we ask you to donate. We're getting several people now donating anywhere up to as little as $1 a month.
Wow.
If everybody, all subscribers, did it, and the money goes to the co-host for gas money and for new equipment and all kinds of stuff, so please donate on that page. And also, on Saturdays and Sundays at 4 p.m., you can hear us on Bubba Army Radio. That's right. Bubba the Love Sponge's channel has us on there on Saturdays and Saturday and Sundays at 4 o'clock if you just want to join us on there. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
See you later.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as he landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, the beam of light hit the ground. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.